Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate or give it to an usher. And Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Please note in your bulletin that the Bible class, which would normally be scheduled for 3:30 this afternoon, is canceled today. Our quarterly congregational business meeting will be next Sunday, August 13th, directly following the morning worship service. We encourage you to attend in order to be brought up to date on the various issues affecting us. Oh, there's a, you may have been using it already, but if not, there is an outline of Pastor's sermon inserted in your bulletin that you may find helpful. Our scripture reading this month, printed in your bulletin, is from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 12 and 13. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee, and praise thy glorious name. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 20, We Praise Thee, O God, Our Redeemer.
We pray.
Let us continue our worship with hymn number 212, Nothing But the Blood. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 477, At Calvary.
Please remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, David said, in you, O Lord, we put our trust. Let us never be put to shame. We thank you, Father, for the confidence that King David expressed on you. And we can endorse and repeat the same words, Lord, in you, we put our trust. Bless us this morning with your presence. As you promised, there were two or three are gathered together. You will be in their midst. And then, Father, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the memory of your presence, the memory of your sacrifice, the memory of your giving away for us, O Lord, we pray that as we look upon the scripture, as we hear the scriptures read on that beautiful Passover of Israel, we will put the two together and remind ourselves that we have been redeemed not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that our brother Greg Tomlinson and his family took the time to go and celebrate his grandma's 90th birthday. And now, Lord, he at this moment is driving from Colorado back home. We pray for safety as he have long miles to drive with the family, with his precious jewels, his wife, and his children. And we miss him because he's a great co-laborer and a great friend and a great brother. Father, we also pray for those who experience the sickness of this world. Loretta Forrest, who is extremely sick. Now the cancer is advancing after so many years. And she's so peaceful and so confident in the departure and be with you. And Lord, Bill D. Spain in our church got injured a few weeks ago, and he's doing well, and we pray for his total recovery. And Father, as well as our friend Jerry West in Costa Rica, now in America, and in September, he will go again through another examination for cancer, and we pray that you will show him your power and your greatness. Father, we are so glad to have missionaries around the world. And we pray for the Carol and Lewis, Fred and Carol Lewis, as Carol is going to face surgery on August 9. For Carol Knott and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. For Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga. For David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, Marta Poretti in Buenos Aires, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, and the Christian Athletic Association, reaching the young people in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey, as Daniel visit and mingle his life with these racers who they think they know everything and they have power for everything. May Daniel, with sweetness and patience, work with each one of them. We thank you, Lord, that we look forward for more missionaries, and we look forward to expand the gospel everywhere. So we broadcast on internet, and we broadcast over the KKMC airwaves, and we have people listening everywhere. And we thank you, Lord, and we pray that as they listen, they become aware of your greatness and your power. We thank you, Lord, for those who listen via the tape ministry and the CD ministry. And I thank you, Lord, for our congregation who pay for all of these expenses. And we never charge a penny to anyone because your gospel is free, even though it costs the life of our Savior. Now, Lord, bless us as we go into the fellowship and the choir sing for us, our brother read for us. And, Lord, again, how grateful I am as a pastor of this church for your children's faithfulness and providing for the ministry. So bless the offering and bless the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
world was framed, a holy sacrifice became, a wondrous cross for everyone to see. The spotless Lamb of God he came to be. For all the world he paid sin's dreadful price, heaven's holy.
Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Exodus. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 42. We will be reading from the 12th chapter of Exodus, verses 1 through 14. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you that we have every blessing in Christ, our Passover lamb. We thank you for the knowledge that all of history exists for the purpose of exalting and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have rescued us from judgment and wrath because of the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, who paid the awful penalty for sins that we have committed. We will always remember the reason that made our salvation possible, even while perfect justice was served. We thank you for this great miracle in that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. May his exposition of your word, aided by the Holy Spirit, be truly the teaching you want us to hear, so that we may benefit and learn and live in accord with your word. We pray these blessings also would come to those who listen on the radio and internet and tape and on CD. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And the occasion that bring us together today, not only just to worship the Lord, but to celebrate the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday of every month. We have set in our church our eyes on the Lord's Supper, and perhaps you'll wonder what that means and why we do this. Paul's implication and also summary of the Lord's Supper is seen in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 7 is after page 672. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. I will every first Sunday speak about the Lord's Supper, so you get it into your heart what that really means. A very clear explanation of the Lord's Supper was confused by the year 459 and was make an actually a complete the complete picture of the Lord's Supper was put into such a way that gives salvation rather than remembering salvation. So we're going to study today chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians says this: therefore, Paul is trying to tell the church to be clean. Therefore, purge, of cleanse, catalyze is the Greek word. Purge out the old leaven, your old life, that you may be a new lamb, that you may be a new Christian. Seeing you truly are unleavened, your heart is pure. And then For in thee, he says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. I want to speak to you this morning on the summary explanation of the Apostle Paul on the Lord's Supper. When Paul explained the Lord's Supper at this particular time, he said, Christ, our Passover. There's going to be a 14-point sermon, a good Bible study, but I want you to know. The Lord's Supper is the best gospel presentation that we can have. So I want you to know what the Lord's Supper really is. And if you maybe see it and participate and you don't know what it is. Now, the Apostle Paul said, Christ, a Passover. Now, that is a word of history. The word Passover refers back to Exodus chapter 12. So you are good and you turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 12 and hold your Bible in 12. We're going to go all over the scripture, but always refer to chapter 12 in the scripture. Let's see what the Passover is. That's a Jewish word. That means that God was so irritated with Egypt at a time in history that now is going to bring judgment to the Egyptians and liberate the Jewish people. And he's not going to do it through a battle. He is going to do it himself. And he's going to do it not in a way that General Joshua and commander and lawgiver Moses think on it. He's going to do it in a way that Israel will remember forever. And so that's the Passover. God said, I will pass over the land of Egypt, and anybody who have no my mark will be dead. So the Passover is glorious for Israel and is dead heat for those who believe not. So what I'd like to do this morning is to obey the Apostle Paul. He said, Christ, a Passover. Now I'm bound by the scripture to look what the Passover is and compare the details of the Passover with the life of Christ and what he has done and see if Christ fit the bill. All right? So you are for a good Bible study this morning, a good Bible study. And I hope when you leave, you can say, boy, I can see that the Christians are not so dummy. They really believe the scripture. And also you can say, I can see that the scripture, whether it's in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, talk only about this man, Christ Jesus, our Lord. All right? When you do that, that's the best way to enjoy ourselves and leave this place saying, Lord, you are great. All right? Let's just start. Number one, you are in Exodus chapter 12. The Passover was instituted by God. Look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses. The Lord in capital letters means Jehovah, the name of God. Jehovah spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt saying. So the Passover was God's idea. Was not Moses' idea. Was not Joshua's idea. Was not the board of elders of Israel's idea. Was God's idea. Put your hand in Exodus and go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, page 713. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 18 to 20. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Knowing that you were not, said the Apostle Peter, redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in the last times for you. Christ was foreordained. Was not Jesus' idea to die on the cross. was God's idea. So Paul said, Christ a Passover. God instituted the Passover. God ordained Christ as a Passover. Number two, let's go back to Exodus. The Passover was instituted by God. Number two, it was set up at a particular time in history. Look at verse 2 in Exodus chapter 12. This month shall be your beginning of month. By the way, is the month of Nisan in Hebrew, March 10 to April 15. This month shall be the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of every year. Was executed at a particular time. God selected not only what to do, but he selected when it needed to be done. All right? If you go to the book of Galatians in the New Testament, in chapter 4, verse 4, page 686. Galatians chapter 4, in verse 4, page 686, you find that the coming of our Messiah and the coming of Christ was also a selection of God. We read in the scripture in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time have come, when God arrived to his appointment, God sent for his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And so here is the typification. The Passover was instituted by God, so Christ was ordained by God. And it was set up at a particular time in history on the month of Nisan. So the Passover, the coming of Christ for his death was at a particular time in God's appointment calendar. All right? In God's agenda. Number three, going back to Exodus, the Passover was a lamb instead of getting some people to die for someone. Look at with me at verse 3 and in verse 4 in Exodus chapter 12. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, now remember that date, because it has an important part. On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. And so in the Passover, was instituted by God, was set up a particular time by God, and now was a lamb in place of a person or persons. All right? God said, I don't going to use any one of you. I'm going to use a lamb for that. Now, it's going to be somebody dying for everybody. See, Passover. God said, I'm going to select a particular symbol. And when that symbol dies, that means that the lamb will die in your place, will be in your substitution. Now, let's go to Galatians again. I hope you like the book of Galatians. In chapter 3, page 686 again, Galatians chapter 3. And let me show you in verse 13 what the death of Christ really implies. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, page 686. I go to Galatians 3. Here it is. Christ has redeemed us, bought back, from the curse of the law, having become curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone who hangs on a tree. And so here is the picture of the Passover. In the Old Testament was instituted by God, and the New Testament also instituted by God. Christ came because God foreordained. It was set a particular time in history, so Christ was set in a particular time in history. God select a lamb to die for the people. God select Christ Jesus to die for his people. Now, it was a choice lamb. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12 and in verse 5. Look at what the Bible says. It was a choice lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You have to have a lamb like those in the lab that you have for the hospital research. We know disease. A pure lamb, perfect lamb, that's what you need. That's what you need to have. That's the only thing that will qualify. If you move your Bible, then to 1 Peter 1:18 again on the scripture that we've been before. Remember, we've been there in page 713. 1 Peter 1:18, the Bible said this concerning Christ, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Your salvation is not the product of you donating something to the church, gold or silver. Look at what the scripture says, like silver or gold, from your vain or aimless conduct. Your salvation was not purchased by something that you corrupted people did. Say, God, I'm a holy God. I need something holy. So God said, and receive by tradition of your father. See, we come, doesn't matter what homosexual says, we come from a mother and a father. All right? We come from a mother and a father, and we carry the sins of our mothers and fathers and our grandparents and our great-grandparents and so on. We carry the sins. And God said, I don't want to use anything like that. Say, God, very clever. Now, look in the Bible. Now, you're in Hebrew, 1 Peter. If you go to Hebrews, which is on the left of 1 Peter, in chapter 4 and in verse 15, now the Bible tells you why. Hebrews 4:15 is page 705. The Bible tells you why God selected Christ. Here's what the Bible says. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. By the word, the high priest is equivalent of the word pope, somebody in lieu of God. We don't have one like that. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet unblemished, without sin. Christ qualified. He was born of a woman, but not from the sperm of a man. Remember, Matthew 1:18. He was born from the Holy Spirit. So man was charged with sin. Christ cannot be charged with sin because he do not have in his birth the sperms of man who carry sin. The woman was not charged, but the man was charged because he disobeyed God. Now, the woman is also guilty, but she do not carry the seed of sin. The carry the seed of sin is the man. And so here is what it is. It was a choice lamb. Nobody in this universe can qualify to do what Christ did. Christ only was the selected lamb. Now also, it was to be sacrificed. If you go back to Exodus, it was to be sacrificed after being set apart for 3 days and cut off between the evenings of the third and fourth day. Look at in Exodus, please with me, in chapter 12 and in verse 6. Look at a particular setup for the sacrifice of the lamb. Now, you shall keep it until the 14th day. Now, when the lamb, look at in verse 3. When the lamb was set apart, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take of himself a lamb. No, kill it. But he select the lamb, a good lamb, and he said, okay, this is the lamb that is going to be sacrificed. He did not kill it on the 10th day. He put it apart. Now, look at when he has to kill it. The Bible said, now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Now, remember the Hebrew clock, watch. It's 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 p.m. That's a day. No 24 hours, 12 hours a day. Jesus said, it's not 12 hours in a day. 12 hour is a day in the East. 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 p.m. So remember that because this is going to go into Jesus' death in a minute. I told you it's going to be complicated, this sermon. But it's, you got to, you know, we Christians have to know why Paul said it's the Passover. Verse 6 clearly said, on the 14th day of the same month, then the whole assembly of the congregation, all the family of Israel, shall kill it. And the Bible, the original said, between the evenings. Between the evenings. That's a pure translation. You shall kill the lamb between the evening. So it's not a full 4 day. It's before the evening of the day. It has to be before 6 p.m. on the 4 day. You got it? The evening of the 4 day will start at 6 p.m. And the Bible said you get the lamb and you kill the lamb before 6 p.m. on the 4 day. Let's find when, how these feet Jesus. Matthew 27, please, with me. Matthew 27, page 582. Matthew 27 and verse 46. This is the moment that Jesus died, and they're giving you the time. The Bible says, and about the 9 hour, 6 o'clock in the morning, plus 9, that's 15 p.m. That's Navy talk, South America talk. If you go to see somebody, say, I see you at 16 in South America. That means 4 p.m. 15 p.m. is 3 p.m., all right? And about the 9 hour, 6 plus 9, 3 p.m., Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is my God, why have you forsaken me? And he died. At 3 p.m., before the evening of the 4 day. Do you see it? I mean, a precise chronological time cannot be more precise than this. The book of Exodus said they need to be slain on the 4 day, but it cannot be a complete full day. Have to be between 2 evenings, the evenings of the 3rd and the evenings of the 4th. And Jesus did his ministry for 3.5 years, never complete the 4 years, never complete the 4 day, and fulfillment of the scripture of the Passover. This is not a coincidence. This is God's planning to the deed. Now, going back to Exodus, it is blood shall be sprinkled as a sign to God. The blood of that lamb shall be sprinkled. Exodus 12 and verse 7. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. In other words, Exodus 12:7 said, we need to see that the blood is visible. That they kill the lamb, they take the lamb, and they sprinkle that blood need to be visible from the outside. If you go back to the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, in verse 24, page 710, Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 24, look at what the scripture says. Hebrews 12, 24. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of a sprinkling that is speak better than the things that avail. On the cross, the soldier saw the blood. The most important part is God saw the blood on the cross. And so here you have the blood of the lamb need to be sprinkled and visible. And that's where the blood of Jesus was visible. All right. Number 7 is in verse 8. It was to be roasted. Look at number 8, verse 8 in Exodus 12. Then they shall eat the flesh of that on that night, roasted in fire, tormented. That, for the Hebrew, to roast is to torment something. Should be tormented. Should be really executed in a way that imply suffering. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 14, we read these words. Hebrews 2:14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and the blood. He himself likewise share in the same, that through the death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus had to go through the sufferings of the cross. You saw the film this fellow did, and he measured on this exterior sufferings of Christ. And that's part of the Passover. Because the lamb need to be roasted. And Christ will not say, well, I give myself. Get the gun, shot himself. He can. Because the scripture said he had to suffer through. And he did exactly what it is. All right? Number 8. It is a feast in preparation for God's presence. If you go back to Exodus 12 and in verse 11, and thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so you shall eat in a haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You're going to be free, fellows. You need to eat this in expectation of the coming of your Savior. He's going to say, well, we have the lamb. No, you have the lamb and be ready because the Lord is coming and you're going to be free. That was the Passover. All right. Now, what about us? Look in the Gospel of Mark, please, with me. The Gospel of Mark in chapter 13 of the Gospel of Mark, verse 31 to 33. Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 31 to 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, says Jesus, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, no even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. This is Jesus speaking about his coming. Verse 33, take heed, watch and pray. For you do not know when the time is. We're going to take the Lord's Supper. Be careful. Look forward. I know you have plans for the afternoon, but the greatest plan is the Lord is coming. That's the greatest plan. I know you have plans to do this and to do the other. Like in America, everything is on the schedule, even on Sunday. But I tell you, the Lord says, when you take the Passover, when you are in the feast of the Lord, you are here saying, Lord, come. I run when you open the door of this church. That's the expectation. That's the expectation of the Jewish people. Number 9, go back to Exodus 12. It is judgment day for the unbeliever. Now, always there is the two sides of the story, you know. Look at verse 12. For I will pass, this is God speaking, through the land of Egypt. On that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute what? Judgment. And then God said, I am, I'm Jehovah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jehovah. I will execute judgment. So not only is the liberation of the nation of Israel, those who believe, but also is judgment for those who believe not. That's why we open the doors of this church. Please go to 2 Peter 2:9. 2 Peter 2:9. By this time you know where 2 Peter is. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. When the day of judgment comes, no one, you can read that in Revelation 20 again, no one will escape, will be judged. And the good part is there is no lawyer that can get you out of court for a settlement. Don't get used to the Americans and say, well, I'm in a court case for a car accident. And it's for 2 years. And the lawyer said, don't worry. The insurance lawyer said, we now press this fellow. We found this weakness. You know, they take so many declarations on you. So many times you have to do depositions to see if you have some flaws and lie. And we found the other fellow lie. So the lawyer said, well, that's it. Now we're going to press the issue. It's going to take another 6 months, and he's going to come for a settlement because he knows if we go to court, the court will not accept lying. Now, nothing like this is in heaven. The Lord will execute judgment, and you have no lawyer because the lawyer is on the other side. The lawyer that you need is in the other side of the court with his people. The only lawyer that the Lord will accept is the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John, you study, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. We have a lawyer. Little children, do not sin. But if you sin, we have an advocate, said the King James. We have a lawyer before God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 2 said, he is the one who can save you. So here it is. Judgment for the unbeliever. Now, go back to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. It is a sign about God's plan of salvation. Look at verse 13. It said, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, God is speaking, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now I have a plan, said God. I don't like to say I have a plan of salvation. No, God has a plan of salvation. It's written in the Bible. And God, look at this one. He said, I have a plan. Now who will imagine this plan? To be saved from the armies and the power of the emperor of Egypt. Who will think of this? Just put some blood of the lamb on your door. And God said, when I see the lamb, not when the priest see the lamb, not when the rabbi see the lamb, when I see the lamb, the blood, I take care of this. Isn't it amazing? It is amazing. To me, it's an amazing statement. Verse 13. You know, let's go to Acts 20 and verse 28, page 655. Acts 20 and verse 28, page 655. Paul is talking to elders and pastors. In Acts 20, 28, therefore take heed of yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You cannot purchase salvation in heaven with your money or with your faithfulness or with your church denomination. Your salvation have to be purchased with the blood of Christ Jesus alone. Regardless what church you are a member of. Wow. That is amazing. Now, I show it here. It is an amazing thing. Let's go to Matthew, you know, Matthew 26, page 580. Matthew 26, I tell you, I enjoy this. Matthew 26. And look with me, verse 28. Matthew 26 and verse 28. This is the Lord's Supper today. The lamb, the blood on the lintels and jambs of the door was the Lord's Supper then. Now, this is the Lord's Supper today, Matthew 26, 28. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. See, right here in the table in front of me in this church, there is the fruit of the vine that you and I will drink as a symbol that God sees the blood. That's the only thing that God sees. And we believe in the blood. I interviewed one time a coach of the Los Angeles University, UC Los Angeles, in Clear Lake, where our church had the retreat in Lucerne. And somebody wants me to talk to him because I was a player, so they want me to talk to this coach, famous coach of a basketball team. And we, as a matter of fact, when Raquel and I went over there, he was jumping on his robe. He was athletic. He said, here's the man that I told you believe in Christ Jesus. And he said, you don't believe in the blood, don't you? I said, well, if you're a Jew, you have to believe in the blood or you are dead. Once a year, you have to go to the synagogue and the lamb need to be killed and the blood need to be sprinkled on you. Otherwise, you'll be dead. But we don't have to because Christ gave his blood. He said, that stopped me. That's the only thing that stopped me from believing. I wanted that. I hope that doesn't stop you. All right. Now, verse 14. Let's go back to verse 14. It is a memorial, a remembrance of God's salvation, not a sacrament. See, if you go to the English dictionary, the sacrament makes you holy. But this one doesn't make you holy. See, the English word sacrament, in many, the Presbyterian Church and the Catholic Church, they say, oh, these are the sacrament. Well, sacrament, that is not the sacrament. That's what makes you holy. Now, I want you to read the words. Look in verse 14 in Exodus. So these days shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to all, to the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting, what, ladies and gentlemen? Ordinance. Ordinance. Ordinance is, I command you to do this. It's different. If you do this, you become holy. It's a different altogether. All right? Now, I'm not inventing this. I'm reading this and clarifying the words. Okay? So I read for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to read it again because I want you to see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to really read a few verses from verse 23 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, so that you see that what we do is exactly what Paul says. Christ our Passover. So we have to do exactly what Israel did, but with the new elements of the New Testament. We are not behind the cross, we are on the other side of the cross. Now here is what it is. Verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. In other words, Paul is saying, this is not my invention either. This is not the São Pauline Church confession of faith. No, this is of the Lord. But I'm glad for these clarifications in this scripture. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, when look to the Lord's Supper, was on the reverse. First was the wine and then was the bread. And that's the way the Gospel of Luke read it. But that's the occasion for Luke participating in the Lord's Supper. But the order doesn't alter the meaning. Verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it. And what? In a sacrament? No, in remembrance of me. Now, you remember Exodus 12:14 said, this is an ordinance and it's forever. You have to keep on doing this until the new economy comes, until the Messiah comes. Now, would the Lord's Supper have to be done until the new economy of the kingdom of God come? Yes. Look at your Bible in 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till what? Till he comes and he set the new economy with the kingdom of God at hand. Do you see it? In other words, in the Old Testament was this. You do this lamb and you sacrifice the lamb and you kill the lamb and you put the blood because you have to do this for completion until for an eternity. In other words, you keep on doing this until the new economy comes. The new economy came. Jesus came. He died on the cross. And he said, you do this, no more the lamb. I am the lamb. And this symbolized the I believe that Jesus Christ's body and blood was for me and that he died in my place in Calvary cross. And when I die, I don't have to do anything else. His blood will cover me in heaven. And when God see me dead, he said, I see the blood and Gabriel Otero. I don't see Gabriel Otero anymore. I see the blood of Christ and Gabriel Otero. So until he comes, and when he comes, don't need anything. He's the King of Kings and glory, and we are in his kingdom. You see it? But I tell you, I was impressed with the words of Paul. Christ, I pass over. It took us 35 minutes to find out what that means. Christ, I pass over. It took me 20 hours of my study to put it together. So let me tell you what a Jew professor, believer, told me. See, this is the way we think of the Passover. It is a token of our salvation. I never forgot. You know, Jews are not too tall. They're a short guy. Short guy looking to me and Hayward. I was teaching Greek. He was teaching Hebrew. He looked at me and said, Gabriel, Jesus is our talking, he said. Our talking. Let me ask you, what is the talking of your salvation? Your good works? I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. I work. I support my family. That's what you're going to bring to God? You die and you say, God, it is me. I work for 40 years. I never cheat anybody. I pay my taxes in America. I provide for everybody. Here's my talking because I'm sorry. I need the blood. Some people will say, Lord, I'm a Roman Catholic. I did everything the Catholics told me. I'm a Protestant. I went to all the meetings the Protestant told me. And God said, I'm sorry, I need the blood. Lord, my mama and my grandmother, oh boy, they were believers. God will say, I need the blood. I need to see the blood of Christ. And the only way you're going to have it is not by drinking it, but by believing. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus that he died for you? And if you did, and you are sure, so when we participate on the Lord's Supper, you can say, thank you, Lord. I'm just looking to open the door for you and take us with you to the new kingdom that he will establish. I hope you are mentally and emotionally disturbed if you're an unbeliever. Because remember what I said? There is no easy way out of this. The God of Israel said, if I don't see the blood, judgment will be executed. And I don't want to preach negative, but I had to preach the whole counsel of God. I had to preach you the goodness of God and the severity of God. I had to tell you how God blesses us and how much God discipline wants from us. Because a home with blessing without discipline is an unbalanced home, no? God is a balanced God. May all of us have the confidence in our heart that we really believe. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to believe in the Son. And Father, whether it is here in this chapel, or whether it is in the radio they are listening, or in the internet at this moment, or in the tape or CD ministry, I pray that the people may have the certainty that if they die, Christ's blood will be their token. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. Proverbs that the glory of a man are his great-grandchildren. And I used to preach, Miriam used to sing, we used to do weddings. My wife played the piano, Miriam sing, and I married the people. It was a full company. And now seeing my granddaughter following the steps of the Lord made me cry. I'm a blessed man, I tell you. I'm a blessed man. We want to invite the deacons to come here. Victor and Jack Asanjan and Joby will be right here with me as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. I want to emphasize again, I say it on the service, I want to emphasize again that if you are a believer, it doesn't matter what church